What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Yes, indeed, and thanks to the help you get from ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, we'll keep it running, even in 10 below weather. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
You were layered this morning, naturally.
I'm layered, and you know what? I'm finally old enough that I quit worrying about hat head. And
hair.
I wear a hat now when I go outside, and it's amazing how much more comfortable it is.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and yeah.
If you dress for the weather, it's just fine.
And I have this old Michelin kind of parka.
Uh-huh.
Very warm.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought.
Too warm most of the time.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, it can be. Yeah. But who cares,
yeah,
right?
Right?
Stay warm.
Yeah, so I wear a hat now, and that makes a big difference.
Excellent. Well, if you have any kind of a car care question for Dan, car, truck, van, whatever the case may be, we're already getting text messages. Call us. Dan's going to be here till about 7:45, so don't wait if you do have a question and you think to bring in your vehicle to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop. Maybe you want to know what the heck could be going wrong with it. And you don't have to be a motorhead either. Dan will talk you through it, and we'll see if we can analyze what the problem is in your vehicle. So call us or text us, 651-989-9226, or send a text 81807. And I was thinking, Dan, as I was driving in, I was using Tony's car today because it was garaged, and I thought, I'm going to, you know, like you said, you don't just drive a mile or two.
Yeah, you got to drive
once. You got to drive, yeah. So I took that in today. And I noticed that the... tire sensors, one of them, the rear left, not that it matters, was not showing up in the dash. And I thought, okay, I'll keep driving because I know I've checked
the
pressure.
They were full.
I knew they were full.
Right.
And then the light went on, the flat tire light or the pressure light, whatever you call it. Could that just be because the sensor's failing?
I think it is because the sensor's failing in your case. Although, in cold weather, for every, they say, I've never proved this, but they say for every 10 degrees that the weather gets colder, the pounds per square inch, the PSI in your tire goes down 1 pound.
1 pound.
Yeah. So, you know, compared to when it's 30 degrees out versus 30 below out, you're going to lose 6 or 8 pounds of pressure in your tire. And that, I mean, that's what we see most of at Lloyd's these days is people come in because their tire light is on.
Yeah.
And it's a curse and a blessing. You know, it's a blessing that you get the warning, but it's a curse for me who has to go out in the cold and put air in all these tires. Right.
Well, I feel that it's good that I, in some cars, don't have the exact PSI register. They're just you just see
the light
comes
on, right?
Yeah. 651-989-9226. Now, with 10 below is what we have here in the Twin Cities. How does that affect, if any, electric cars?
You know, that's I just read an article on that last week, and AAA, the article was produced by AAA, and it claims in their tests that the battery loses capacity of about 40% in severe cold weather, which, you know, on a commuter car would be just fine. You know, if the car will normally go 150 miles and your commute is only 25 miles each way, you're going to be just fine. But in severe cold weather on a long haul, the battery does lose capacity, as any battery does. I don't know if you've noticed on your cell phone or your flashlight or your, you know, every battery in the world, when it gets cold, it loses power, and that's normal. And then the difference between a internal combustion engine and an electric car, just in general, is, of course, their energy source. You know, the internal combustion engine gets its energy from gasoline, and the electric car gets its energy from the batteries, which of course need to be recharged. And I think probably the major difference is that the electric car takes a lot longer to refill with energy than the car. It takes just a couple minutes to fill the tank with gas again.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to recharge the battery.
Especially in cold.
It generally takes a long time
it does
to
anyway.
Recharge the battery. But, right. They do make these new superchargers, and electric cars are coming a long ways, actually. They make these superchargers that'll recharge the batteries, you know, very
shorter
quickly.
Period of time.
Yeah. But anyway.
All right. Let's get to the phones. I think Roger is calling from St. Paul. Roger, what's your question for Dan?
Hi. I have a 2005 Hyundai that won't start. When it was starting to run poorly, we took it to AutoZone, and they analyzed that it needed a sensor that was difficult to replace, but we did that. And it didn't start, but the car had started to run worse, and I ran it until it wouldn't run anymore, and wouldn't start. And that was probably a month and a half or 2 months after the sensor had been analyzed. But I didn't take it in again when it started running again. So there's something else wrong, and. I don't know how to check to see if we're getting gas with that fuel injection.
Well, and that's exactly what we would do. First of all, when you take a vehicle in and get the codes read, which lots of places are willing to do for that, you have to be careful with the information that you get because lots of, for example, we see lots of cars that come in and say, give us the code out of the computer that says oxygen sensor. And there's nothing wrong with the oxygen sensor. The oxygen sensor is working just right. But the oxygen sensor is flagging a code because the engine is running too rich or too lean and the oxygen sensor is stuck in one position. So the computer is telling us, hey, look at the oxygen sensor. Something's going on. It's not telling us you have a code for an oxygen sensor, replace the oxygen sensor. So I think with just getting the code read, you can get a lot of misinformation, and you need to be careful about that. But at any rate, when a vehicle cranks and will not start, then there's four or five things that when you bring it into the shop, you have to check for. Does it have spark? Does the engine have compression? Is the timing correct? Is the head and block of the engine in correct time? And does it have both fuel pressure? And is it getting signal to the fuel injectors to open and close like they're supposed to so the vehicle gets fuel? And a number of those things you can do, you know, in your garage by yourself, but the rest of them, you're going to need some help on. for example, hooking up a fuel gauge on many cars, it's very simple. You just, you know, they give you an access port and you can just screw a little gauge onto that. But on many cars, that's not the case. And you actually have to plumb into the lines.
Mm.
And that's probably not comfortable, safe, or you don't have the equipment available to do that in your garage.
Right.
So, beyond the obvious things, it gets a little bit complicated. And to answer your question directly, how do you check to be sure that the vehicle is getting fuel? One shortcut that you can take is introduce some outside fuel. For example, spray some starting fluid into the intake manifold and see if it fires on that. If it does fire, then you can say, well, it's probably not getting gasoline then. If you introduce some outside fuel, and it still does not fire, then I don't know. No, that's not for sure that it's still not getting fuel, but more than likely it would be getting fuel if it doesn't make any difference. But, check what you can, and then beyond that, you're probably going to end up
needing help,
having to have it towed and get some help on it.
All right. Thank you, Roger. Dan, we need to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more. We have texters to help out, too. We'll do that when we return. And welcome back to Cecil's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Exactly. Pin it down there. Where are you?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web, of course, at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net, or give Nick a call this morning. I think he's there. I will be, too, at 651-228-1316.
Well, that's very good, Dan, because the texter wants to know if Lloyd's is going to be busy around 10 this morning. The texter needs to stop by for a headlight replacement.
Yeah, we can probably do that. Yes, Lloyd's is going to be very busy this morning because we did not get done yesterday.
Oh, okay. And it's 10 below zero yet. So
we have some catching up to do, but that's okay.
Give Nick a call.
Yeah, we can usually handle a headlight.
Okay. Texter says this. A 2009 Trailblazer got stuck in a snowbank, had to rock it to get out. After I got out, the steering wheel is off center. Thought it had to be a tie rod, but after driving a while, the steering wheel is going in circles. The car drives normally. It's made about 3 complete rotations. Any ideas? What do you think happened there? But it sounds
like it's not good.
Not good. That's a lot of rotations.
Yeah, I don't think the steering wheel is connected to the... the steering rack or something anymore. Like it's supposed to be, something is slipping there. If you've made 3 complete revolutions, something's wrong.
Something's wrong.
Yeah, and so I'm not sure if you're comfortable driving that, but perhaps you want to have that towed.
I would do that.
You need to have that checked. Yeah. Yeah, that might not be safe.
Another texter, by the way, if you want to send down a text, 81807, texter says, can you tell me how to test the backup sensor on an F-150?
No.
Can I ohm it out? I'm not sure.
I don't know if you can ohm that out. You know, and I'm sorry that I don't know that, but I have a little bit more sophisticated equipment than that so that I can actually hook up my scan tool and know which sensors are reading and which are not. I can read the codes, and sometimes the codes will even tell me if a sensor has failed. But let me tell you this, that what I do know is that there's probably 4 backup sensors in your bumper or 3 or, you know, more than 2 usually. And so oftentimes what we will do is just compare. In fact, you know, if there are 3, then ohm all 3 of them. And if one reads differently, then that's probably the one that has failed. Or... the other option would be to, if you want to get a sensor, and I don't think they're very expensive, just change it one at a time and see if that takes care of the problem.
Okay.
And if it does, then that's another way to kind of shortcut the diagnostic procedure if you want to do that.
You know, we need to take a bit of a break here. So alerting our listeners, Dan's going to be here for about another 15 minutes or so. So if you do have any kind of a car care question, call it in or text it in. Phone number 651-989-9226, and the text number, meanwhile, is 81807. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Law here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Dan, we have callers, we have texters. Let's see if we can't do kind of a lightning round here and help some folks out. Steve is calling from Circle Pines, I believe. Steve, you're on with Dan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Say, I was purchasing a used vehicle with 65,000 miles on it, and I was offered a extended warranty for all the electrical and all that cover 70,000 miles. Is it worth getting?
Well, my advice on that is if it makes you feel better, yeah. But the truth is, it's an insurance company that's making money on selling those, so. It's profitable for them. In other words, whatever you pay for it, there's a really good chance that you won't need that amount of repair on your vehicle. And one more thing I would caution you about is choose the insurance company very, very carefully, because you need to read the small print, and they'll do everything they can to wiggle out of whatever they don't claim to repay you for or pay, you know, repairs to pay for. So read all that very, very carefully, because if you pick the wrong insurance company, then they're really a bad value. So, but on the other hand, I've seen engines replaced and transmissions replaced.
Yeah, that's the other side of the coin.
The insurance company has paid for, and those people were darn glad that they had it. So it's kind of a personal thing. But I'll answer for myself. I do not buy them, but I can also fix my car myself. So
that's true. You have a distinct advantage there.
I'm probably not a good measuring tool. I don't think you buy extended warranties.
No,
because you have me.
So, that's true.
Yeah. So it just it's a kind of like personal preference.
Like you said, if it makes you sleep better at night, do it.
Right. And lots, you know, there's choices on all of the insurances you buy. What are your limits, and how much do you want to pay for it, and how much do you want, and you know, go with what makes you feel most comfortable.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Good luck. Dan is calling from Clark's Grove. Dan, you're on with Dan.
Hello. Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning. I got a 2013 Chrysler Town & Country, and it'll shift first, second, third gear, and then it'll drop to, say, fifth, maybe even sixth.
So it's skipping a number of the middle gears.
Yeah.
well, there's a number of things that could cause that. Hopefully for you, that it's an electronic problem, a solenoid problem that can be, you know, easily accessible and repaired. But for diagnostics, which you're going to have to bring that into a shop, and they can get information out of the transmission computer that will give them some codes and some direction on where to go with the repair, and decide if it is an electronic problem or a simple problem, or is it something in the transmission itself, a seal or something that has failed that would require the transmission to come out and be overhauled, in which case you'll have to make a decision if you want to do that or not. But at any rate, you know, the right thing for you to do now is bring that in and have some a shop do some diagnostic work on it, decide what the problem is, and get an estimate and see what the repair is going to involve.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. Good luck with you. Let's grab some text messages before you leave us, Dan. Mm-hmm. Is it a serious issue with the extreme ice buildup on and around tires from the ice? Some of the clearance is almost zero.
No, the tire will take care of that. It'll skim
rub it off.
It'll rub it off and skim it off, and that will be just fine. One thing that I will warn about snow and ice in the deep snow and tires is, you know, you drive through these big snow banks and the wheels and tires get all caked with snow.
Yeah.
And then the car sits for a little while and the ice all settles to the bottom of the wheel, and you take the vehicle out on the highway and that's now ice inside the wheel, and it causes a severe balance problem. And so you get out on the highway and say, all of a sudden my tires and my whole car is shaking. What's going on? Well, in weather like this, that's just what it is. They get caked with snow and ice, and take the vehicle to the car wash, or you know, reach through the wheel with a screwdriver and knock that ice off the inside of the wheel, and that'll take care of the shaking problem.
Good thinking. Let's see, another text. A friend, hi Dan, a friend who knows a lot about cars gave me a can of Seafoam to put into my gas tank this winter to keep my motor in good shape. Is this always safe to use, no matter the make or model of the car? I know we've talked about additives before.
I think so. I mean, I read the can. The label will disclose any of that. And I think it's fine to use.
Okay, let's see. Do if this is all together here? No, this is not. How can you tell if a head gasket is leaking?
That's complicated sometimes.
Is it?
Yeah. Depending upon where it's leaking and how it's leaking, if it's leaking externally, you would look for coolant leaking out. If it's leaking internally, then there's a number of things that we do. One is we can check the cooling system with our four-gas analyzer and see if exhaust gas is getting into the coolant. That's one way that we'll do it. The other way that we will do it is we'll pressurize the system, the cooling system, and then take the spark plugs out and look inside the cylinder through the spark plug hole with a little scope, you know, a little camera that we have. We call it a borescope, and and then you can look for signs of if the inside of the cylinder has been steam cleaned, for example. We'll know that, or sometimes if it's leaking enough, we'll even see the color of coolant inside the cylinder. But there's a number of ways to check it, and depending upon the car and the accessibility, there's different techniques that we follow.
Can you put air in a low tire today if your vehicle is in a garage?
Sure. Yeah,
why not?
For sure. Yeah. You know, we talked about that one thing. The only thing you have to be a little bit careful of is any time that you're putting air into a tire is you're introducing some moisture. And especially this time of year, if you're introducing some moisture to the valve core and the valve stem itself, sometimes when you're done putting the air in, it won't seal again. In other words, it's got some ice in there. And so, So just be careful about that. After you finish putting air in the tire, check and be sure that the around the valve stem is dry and has not got ice built up in there and is now allowing air to come out through the valve core.
Tell you what, Dan, I know we'll see you 1 week from today. At least we hope we will. I'm going to grab some text messages we did not get completed today.
Great.
And we'll open up the show with those.
That's a good idea.
Good deal. Thanks, Dan. Have a good week. As they always say lately, stay warm.
Yeah, not true.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.